Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
body punching?
I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him actually crying in there.
We're
saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely, but I knew you were cuffing and taking those punches.
Beyonce Productions.
Making woman gestures like,
let's go, champ.
It's the champ, ladies and gentlemen, the champ of the podcast. You already know, Ness GTL, we are back with a double doses of TBV. This time, we taking it across the pond. It's time to talk a little Jorge Linares from Venezuela, who's giving the rematch to Anthony Gorolla. And I just finished watching this fight, man, just to refresh myself. Because obviously we've all followed the careers of both men closely, especially Linares. He's been in some good battles with some good fighters that we're all familiar with. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this rematch plays out. I don't know if I agree with the popular opinion, but let me get out to my co-host of the day, my editor, Matthew. Matthew, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, Ness. I'm just really pumped for this fight, actually, because you may think I'm a hipster, but more than that, I'm a huge fan of UK boxing. And I think even though Anthony Corolla is a limited boxer, he's a Gallagher guy, so we all know the stigma around his fighters and the people in his stable. But I think Jorge Linares is a sort of a second ballot, maybe Hall of Famer. So I think this fight's a good rematch. The first fight was awesome. And I think the winner of this fight is obviously the mandatory of Mikey Garcia versus the winner of Mikey Garcia versus Dajan Zlatkan. And I think the winners of those two bouts is the automatic number one lightweight in the world. So I'm hyped.
And really, that's about the sexiest piece of news in regards to this fight. It's not typically a fight that I would preview. Linares, to me, he was the WBC champion. In a way, he kind of ducked Dajan Zlatkan by becoming the Diamond WBC and going to fight Corolla in Manchester for Corolla's version of the WBA at that time, because he could have just, you know, defended his belt versus Zlatkan the way that Mikey Garcia is doing. So,
I agree. I just think that there's a little echo on me. I don't know how that's causing it, but I think that Jorge Linares is obviously the best lightweight in the world right now, purely from a legacy standpoint and what he's done in terms of resume. But that division's so stacked. There's so many young guys in it that, you know, a guy like Robert Easter Jr. is going to come in and could beat both these guys. So I'm hyped on this division, period.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I'm talking about this fight, because this one gets the wheels moving, right? Because, again, I need to educate the casual fans that don't know what really took place. Jorge Linares was the WBC champion, the same WBC title that now Mikey Garcia is going to be facing Dajan Zlatkan for come the 28th of January on the undercard of Carl Frampton versus Leo Santa Cruz. So, again, this is why we're bringing it up, because Linares chose to become emeritus status, receive the WBC diamond, go across the pond and fight for Corolla's WBA because it was a bigger financial fight for him. Obviously, Eddie Hearn and Matchroom could offer him better deals. Now, Linares is signed to Golden Boy, okay? So this time around, he won that WBA title and they offered him a rematch. Now, I'm sure there was a rematch clause because it says in the official press release from Matchroom that, you know, Carolla exercised his immediate rematch clause. So this is the best move for Linares, you know, in terms of finances and low risk. But from watching the fight, I think it's a lot more risk than some would believe. I've already, you know, seen that Linares is the favorite and that most are still picking him to win, but he's always suffered from stamina issues, and they still were evident in this fight with Carolla. So I think Carolla now having a second look at him, or at least that first look coming into this fight being the second, he will be able to be a little more prepared, be able to let his hands go just a little more, because let's be honest, Matthew, Linares is fighting in spurts. He's letting his hands go in spurts, so he could be defeated. Plus, he doesn't take pressure well.
No, I think you're completely right on both points. But I still think that in those spurts, he is more efficient in his offense and his defense than a Carolla. Though you're right that Carolla has the style to pressure and win rounds off of Linares. But then again, I think there are more, you know, threatening guys in the division than Carolla against Linares.
See, my thing is, people.
I think Carolla is the most basic one of all the top guys in the division, except for maybe like a Terry Flanagan.
I just don't think that people were giving Carolla the credit that he deserved for making the fight. A, he was the one bringing the fight to Linares. He was the one, you know, and he was using very little physical exertion, right? Like, he wouldn't overexert himself because he was just, you know, with the way that he was cutting the ring off, he was easily putting Linares on his back. And that's what I'm saying. If Linares gets past this, what's going to happen if Mikey wins? I don't know. I really don't.
I think Linares is in the phase of his career where he's old, right? Like, Linares is a veteran in the sport, so, and he's been knocked out before. So, of course, we see ways for guys to beat him.
Three times he's been knocked out, Matt. And
I know.
He's not that old, though. He's 31. The reason we think he's old is because his face always gets puffy. His eyes are always cut.
It's not that. There is a difference between your actual age and then boxing.
Rounds in the ring, you mean. Yes, he's boxed 256 rounds, which is quite a lot.
And he was a champion a decade ago. He was the featherweight champion of the world a decade ago. Think about that for a second. How many guys are still a lineal champion a decade after winning their first world championship?
Yeah, but let's be real. I mean, after his loss to Sergio Thompson, which was back-to-back losses, he lost to DeMarco on HBO, and then, you know, he lost to Sergio Thompson, on his comeback somewhere in Mexico. You know what I'm saying? After that, he's really been chilling. Like, the only name that sticks out to me is Ira Terry, you know, maybe Francisco Contreras and Kevin Mitchell. You know, Cano, I don't even know. I'm just saying maybe Cano is familiar, but it's not because it's a Venezuelan Cano. So I don't know who the hell that is. You know what I'm saying? He's been chilling. He's been definitely using his name to his advantage. I remember last year watching a fight in his hometown that it was like 100,000+ people there because he's a draw in Venezuela. I guess that was his first time back after a long time. You know which fight I'm talking about? Because I thought you were the...
Yeah, I know what fight you're talking about. I don't remember his name right now. I don't have Box Rec up like you do.
I guess it might be the Ivan Cano fight, right? That was the last Venezuelan fight he's had in the last 3 years. So that
one that was like 100,000 people in a soccer stadium.
Yeah, I watched that one, and he looked good, but you know, again, who the hell was Ivan Cano?
But, true, but like I really rate the Kevin Mitchell win. I think that was a good win. Kevin Mitchell's
Mitchell's old. Mitchell's more shop worn than Linares.
True.
Listen, I think Carolla can do it this time. Carolla, he wasn't getting hit that much because again,
what?
Linares was punching in spurts, man. In the first half of the fight, yes. But even the sixth round, right? Carolla was winning the sixth round, but then Linares landed that right hand and kind of you had to score it from because he put Carolla on shaky legs. But he was winning that round. Then in the seventh round, it was more of Carolla being the aggressor. You know, I think that the first half of the fight, things were a bit easier for Linares. But even after the third round, you can start to see that there were stamina issues. I think Carolla goes back. I think he sees the mistakes. He sees that, you know, that this guy obviously has a stamina issue and that he can capitalize on it. Is that enough for him to get the win? I don't know, because Linares is so slick. He was catching him with fucking uppercuts. Like, the way that he throws those uppercuts, too. He's bending at the side. He's coming in with a sharp left uppercut.
Lead uppercut. Lead uppercut, splitting his guard.
What he doesn't do well, and I don't like it, and I bet you that's the reason he's been getting ran through, is the jab. He's just kind of like, the jab is just there. It's not a stiff jab. It's not a jab.
For Linares?
Yeah. Carolla could just walk through the jab and land that right hand. He was landing that right hand on Linares all night. I'm telling you, Linares doesn't take pressure well. If Carolla changes his game plan this time and decides to throw maybe 10 more punches per round, I see him getting the win. I really do.
But I can do the flip side. I think that
on the ropes.
I think that Carolla's defense in terms of his hands and his head movement is just awful. His footwork is very good for a UK guy. His footwork is very elite for pressuring and cutting off the ring. It's very good for him. It's I'm not saying it's like Triple G-esque, but like it's that way of doing it. It's along those lines. It's not a Brandon Rio sort of pressure guy, but his head movement and his ability to parry shots is so subpar that I can see Linares just always lighting him up. Always. I just don't see that not happening.
But he wasn't always lighting him up this fight. Like, you're acting as if he was fucking tagged. Like, you're acting as if this fight looked like Terrence Crawford, John Molina. It didn't. It was tighter than that. The scores was like one.
No, it was. No, maybe I'm speaking too much of generalities, but I'm talking about like those spurts you're talking about. Yes, there was vast moments of rounds of Carolla stalking Linares, landing to the body, landing that overhand right. But then there was a lot of spurts of Linares landing flush combinations to the body and to the head.
Yeah, and you know, it was some really bad officiating over there. You know, yeah. The judge was definitely pro Carolla, and every time he made a face, the judge would warn Linares. It was really some, you know, walking on eggshells for poor Linares over there. I'm surprised he's going back to Manchester Arena.
The money.
Obviously, it's the money. It really is. Listen, let's get out to these callers and, get done with this. Josh from New Orleans, talk to us. I mean, Josue. Not ready? All right. I think that's Larry, but he's off. Listen, this is a UK topic, so hopefully our UK listeners enjoy this one in the morning. I'm excited because that arena was electric. Man, but again, pro-UK, like the minute Linares had his back on the ropes and a punch seemed to be thrown, the cheers were insane.
Carolla is a huge star in Manchester. He's very known with the soccer teams over there or the football teams, you know, if you're in the UK. So I think that he has caught the imagination and the love of that particular spot and that region in the UK.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm simply stating the obvious that
when
he threw a punch, the crowd was going crazy. So, you know, again, another thing that Linares needs to worry about, but obviously very confident because this one went the unanimous decision. There were no knockdowns. Where he did in the second round almost put Carolla down. I don't know why he got off the gas.
I think that if Linares, like you said, like if Carolla watches the tape and learns from it, he can come in with the right game plan and work Linares. But if Linares goes in and watches the game, the tape, and works a good game plan, he can finish Carolla, in my opinion.
You know, I'm actually thinking about it. Now that's two times Linares probably almost dropped him in the second, I believe, and in the sixth with the overhand right. But, yeah. Well, Matt, I guess what is your official pick?
Definitely Linares, but it's going to be close. I think it's going to look very similar to the first fight. But I think a higher volume from each guy because they're not hesitant.
Yeah, I'm going to – my early pick, obviously, this fight is not happening until March 25th. It's going to be live on Sky Sports. So, you know, find your easiest way to get your eyes on this one. I'm going to go Linares unanimous decision based on what he was able to do in the first fight. And hopefully he watches the tape and sees that he was a bit sloppy. I mean, I feel like Matt is giving him more credit than he deserves. He's a veteran. He should have been a little more compact, a little more defensively sound. But I think that he will be in the rematch. I want him to win also because I know that if Carolla wins, he's going to fight Flanagan. Whereas if, you know, Linares wins, he's going to have to fight Mikey, right? I mean, even though they both end up with the WBC, but see, he might just let go of that Diamond BC belt. You know what I mean? Linares is the only one that'll look bad if he doesn't actually take the fight with Mikey or the winner of Mikey versus Dejan Zlatikin.
If Mikey wins that fight, I can definitely see Linares dropping that diamond belt, which means nothing, and, you know, ducking him. But I think if Zlatikin beats Mikey, which is a highly possible thing to happen, and me and Santiago have a pie bet on that fight, and I'm thinking Zlatikin, man. I'm not a big Mikey fan. I'll be honest, man. I think Mikey in his comeback has looked
Gonna look so bad picking against Mikey this time, buddy. That is bad. Okay, in the past, you've picked privately. Now you're like on the world, and they're gonna come at you. But listen, this has been a little quick one. We just wanted to give you the update on the very important fight in the division. You know, that is a stacked division. Carolla is ranked number 4 in the world. Bartholomew happens to be number 1. And these are Box Rec rankings. Flanagan, number 2. Linares, number 3. Carolla, number 4. Petrov, who I think would give a really, really, really good fight to a guy like Linares and maybe beat him. I think we might have a caller from another country or something. But yeah, you know, Petrov, he might give Linares all types of trouble. Obviously not a big enough fight for Linares, but this is a very dangerous division. You can't forget the IBF champion and Robert Easter Jr. And
Robert Easter McEnroe beats everyone in the division. Robert Easter is the truth, hands down.
Bay, you know, Zlatikin, Javier Fortuna, Felix Verdejo, Raimundo Beltran. A lot of names in that division to mix it up with. We're going to go to Skype real quick. Sensa, talk to us.
Yeah, how's it going, Nash? You good, yeah?
Good, good, good.
Good, good. Fresh off the Patreon, anyone who listens to the show should show some support to the show. You know how it is. Just call the show. So I thought I'd just quickly call. Qualla is like you said, very popular in Manchester. And I think Eddie Hearn has done a good job with him. I think when he fought the Barroso fight, it was billed that, you know, Barroso was this big, powerful guy that Qualla was going to struggle against. And he really stuck to the game plan and took his time and waited in that fight and then got the finish. And I think, as you said, after having a look at Linares and having the time to observe him and watch the fight back, I think in the second time, Qualla will throw more punches. And I think because of his pressure, he has got the chance to beat Linares. I would still pick Linares, but I think if Qualla sticks to a game plan, like he's already shown that he can stick to a plan, if he has got the right game plan the second time around, I feel that he could steal it on points. But it's going to be tough. I think Linares looked the stronger guy in there. I think the shots that Linares was landing in the first fight looked to, you know, he could cause more trouble than Qualla. But you never know. It's boxing. And I think, like I say, if Qualla can stick to his plan, you never know what could happen. And it's going to be an exciting fight for sure.
Now, Qualla, you said that you preliminary pick Linares in the matchup, right? You're not picking Carolla.
I will pick Linares, yeah, overall.
Now, do you think that, like, Joe Gallagher and his training regimen has a hard time teaching defense to his guys? Because, like, I think Carolla has holes in his defense. Like, that's the ultimate thing. His offense is great, but his defense is lacking.
Yeah, he seemed to take a lot of shots, quite big shots as well in the first fight. But against Barroso, I don't know if you saw the Barroso fight, but he defended really well against Barroso, which was sort of the reason he won the fight, because Barroso was throwing such a barrage of punches, and Qualla managed to defend well enough until Barroso basically punched himself out. So I'm not really too sure on that one. I think things need to change for the second fight and, you know, stop them shots from landing, but I'm not really too sure, to be honest with you. I think Joe Gallagher does a good job of his fighters and he's done really well, but I do know what you mean with Qualla. But we'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
Well, I agree. Spencer, man, thanks for calling in. I guess he's going with repeat, not revenge for Carolla. but at least he agrees with me. He feels if Carolla watches the tape, he's going to be a little more active because he does have an opportunity. I swear, Linares back.
No, I agree with you. I agree with both of you guys. I don't think either of you guys are wrong. I just think that I just favor Linares both in the first fight more in terms of how I scored it and how I see the second fight going. But I do see clear paths of victory for Anthony Carolla.
I just don't understand how a guy that – I mean, you know, he has been in that division for his entire career probably, bro. So it's probably just, you know, zapping him, and that's why he's losing energy midway through the fight because, believe me, he is losing energy. His stamina is evidently dropping throughout that fight, man. You start looking during the third round on, and he's already showing signs until the sixth – is where he's really looking tired, but he landed a good right hand to steal that round. I'm telling you, Carolla could change things in this one if he digs deep. But Carolla himself has been, you know, through some things, right? Like, and technically, Linares is a better fighter. He's more skilled, and they have about the same amount of rounds. And also, Linares is a little more accurate, so he should win. He really should win. But who knows what Carolla can do. Listen, my official pick is obviously going to be you. Unanimous decision, Jorge Linares. I know that Matt thinks he can knock him out. But
yeah, I can see a late, like a late knockout. A
long time, dude. And that was a long time ago versus Derry Matthews in 2012. So I don't know if that could happen really, man. But anyway, I am Nestor Gibbs. I am your host of the Boxing Voice Radio. If you're enjoying this content, hit that thumbs up button. It doesn't matter if you're watching this in the future, present, or past. We don't have to be live to accept the love and for you to show your appreciation for the show. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to chop it up, talk some boxing, at NestGTO. You can find my editor at
Mixed Combat News on Twitter and Mixed Combat Radio on Facebook.
Later, ladies and gentlemen.
Later.